Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2. Your second line simplified.
The Jets are back, and so are we with the Four Downs edition of the Flight Plan Podcast. Tim McMaster here, along with Zach Rosenblatt. We are sponsored and presented by Game Time Watches, the leader in licensed sports watches. Just as we predicted, Zach, just when you wanted to just count out this team and move on and get on with your life here in early November, they pull one out against a team that they did the same thing with a year ago, where it's a good football team. Whatever reason, they are, I think, officially now in CJ Stroud's head. I mean, two straight years where he's just bad. Part of it last night, obviously, missing his number one and number two receiver weapon. That's a big deal. You could see it, but he was not good. He was not sharp. He was inaccurate. But the Jets came up with some big plays when they had to. The catch of the year, which we will get to. We talked about it, though, before we get to Four Downs. We talked about it a little bit. The ticket prices were way down. What would the crowd be like? It literally took like three offensive plays for the boos to come out.
Yeah.
But collectively, it seemed like in the fourth quarter, the vibes were pretty good in the stadium. But that you don't always get a full read on it from like the television, because TV cameras can zoom in on like six excited people in a stadium of 50,000 people who are rolling their eyes. So you were there. What was the energy at the beginning, energy at the end?
I mean, the boos came early, and then the sell the team chant started before halftime. They came multiple times. You know that Woody Johnson was not happy about that. That first half was as bad as it gets, and it felt like we were headed towards like just full-blown disaster. Like, Patriots game was a disaster, and then this would have been like the next step deeper into the hole that they already dug themselves. And you know, would this locker room start crumbling? Like, would people have been fired? Like, I don't know, but it looked really, really bad, especially when people are chanting sell the team. Like, you know, that hits Woody in the heart. And they turned it around in the second half, and yeah, the crowd definitely like it. It took a little bit for the stadium to fill up. It still probably was only like a 50% capacity situation, I would say. It started pretty low. People were slow to arrive.
Thursday night game for a team
that everybody's kind of down on. You look at the second half, the crowd was really good. They were loud. They were really into it. And yeah, that was, you know, Jets crowds when the Jets are winning are very good. So Dan just asked about Woody having a headset in their suite. Like, I've actually been trying to figure out what was going on there, because they showed that on the broadcast. I didn't see anything about his grandson, but I don't know what was going on with the headset thing. I am trying to find that out. But yeah, anyway, he
actually direct line to Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say maybe there were noise cancellation. He was trying to drown out the sell the team chants. Maybe that's what it was. This can be called the cayenne pepper game. I'm going to do that. I don't know if we want to do it before we get into the four downs or after.
No, that's good. Simply Organic also, by the way, that's the same brand.
Maybe they should sponsor us.
There you go.
We'll reach out.
Should I do it now or after? What do you think?
You're actually going to do this right now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's for the pod. Oh,
I didn't even understand that you were actually going to take it. Well, how about this? Because it seemed like the Jets maybe took the cayenne pepper at halftime.
Oh, I like that.
But do you want to do it during the ad break?
We'll see
if you feel better.
Well, people need to see. I feel like they need to see me drinking it. So after you're done the ad, I'll do it.
Yes. Yep.
All right.
Okay.
We'll stay tuned.
All right. But it is ready. The cayenne pepper is ready. It worked, but like you said, it was delayed. All right. Should we get into the downs? First down. The catch of the year. I mean, I'm just going to state it now. There's no way anybody in football makes a better catch this year than what Garrett Wilson did. It was arguably the best catch since Odell's catch in the same end zone. Everybody's talked about it. Same end zone, same stadium, all that stuff. Unbelievable. The only disappointing thing about this catch is that we had to wait through a review in order for it to stand. Ulbrich apparently said to the official, like, you have to overrule this because like that catch can't be like has to go down in history. But an absolute incredible one-handed catch. We will assume that everybody has seen it at this point. It is the thumbnail on YouTube for the episode. Chances are this isn't the case, Zach, but maybe we look back on the season and say that's the catch that turned it all around.
I mean, it did kind of feel like it carried that kind of weight. And the crazy part is it was the second amazing catch of the day. Like his first touchdown was a one-handed catch. It just like looks like nothing in comparison because he leaped up there like Michael Jordan. And in the moment, I guess I wasn't aware of the rule of like a shin counts as 2 feet because his shin.
Yeah, me neither.
Yep. So everybody's like, they have to, like he throws the flag immediately. Aaron's looking at the sideline like it's a touchdown. I'm like, what are you guys, like he had one foot in. Like I was so confused. And
the other foot did come in too, but the knee had already touched it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I didn't think it was going to be a touchdown. So I even tweeted like, man, we very nearly saw the best catch I've ever seen. And then it overturned. And yeah, I mean, it just felt like there was no way the Jets were going to lose the game after that point. But, you know, I talked about this earlier. I did Connor's SNY podcast thingy. And it felt to me like this was the game that we had all been waiting for with Garrett. Like he had been very, very good over the last four games before this, but this was like the one where he's doing the acrobatic plays. They're throwing it to him down the field. He's going up and getting it. He's making things happen both before and after the catch. This was the like where I said all offseason, I think we could talk about him as one of the five best receivers in the vein of like a Justin Jefferson by the end of the year. Like this was the kind of game where it looked like that. Like I know he only wound up having 90 yards, but he had two touchdowns, and they don't win this game if Garrett Wilson is not on the field. Devonta Adams has definitely helped him, but I think this game Garrett helped Devonta in the way that he carried more gravity this game than he has all year, and it allowed Devonta to kind of easily get behind some like safeties on his two, like the fourth down play that he had the catch and the touchdown at the end of the game. They weren't like doubling, they weren't shading coverage towards Devonta for whatever reason, probably because of Garrett. And so, yeah, I just thought that catch, like it's one of those moments, like you have some of them throughout your career as a writer where you're like, I remember where I was when I saw that moment. You know, I covered in college a Hail Mary to win the game at University of Arizona. They played Cal. That's like something that jumps out, like things like that, just like crazy, crazy plays. Or there's like the flip side, like I covered Joe Judge doing basically victory formation on third down from deep in his own territory. Like there's just certain moments
Wilson.
You remember. And I probably was watching the Odell game live. I was not there live though. So this was the best catch I've ever seen in person. Like just the way he contorted his body, the way he literally looked like the Air Jordan logo. Like it was just remarkable. And I talked to somebody after the game in the building and they pretty much were like, you know, there's only like 2 to 3 guys in the league that can even make that catch. Like that's why, to your point, where like nobody's going to replicate it. I don't know who can. Like George Pickens is someone who makes like acrobatic catches. You know, you have the star guys like a Justin Jefferson or, you know, Jamar Chase, like guys like that. But I just think Garrett consistently, and people forget this, maybe, but there's so many plays where it seems like he makes an amazing catch, but he's like just out of bounds at the sideline. Like there's so many times where I'm like, oh, how did he haul that in? But then he's like, oh, one of his feet was out of bounds. And there's been a lot of those what if moments. And Garrett even alluded to it. He's like, I was really hoping it wasn't going to be another what if moment. He's like, guys were gassing me up too quick. I'm like, well, let's wait and see if it goes through. And then it did. And he had a cool story. And this was like the whole lead to my story last night about how he remembers watching the Odell game on his couch in Texas with his dad, who was a Cowboys fan at the time. And Odell Beckham makes that catch and they're like going crazy. And his dad is upset because he's a Cowboys fan. And like the crazy part is, you know, 10 years later, because that was in 2014, 10 years later, Garrett, same end zone, same stadium, opposite side of the end zone, but same stadium. He has his moment where like there's probably a kid somewhere watching that and being like, holy crap, that was so cool. Because this was a primetime game also. That was a Sunday night game. This was a Thursday night. And what otherwise was a very sloppy, ugly, as they always are on these Thursday nights, like that was just like such a cool moment where universally everybody in the league was losing their mind. Aaron didn't really take credit for it, other than like he's like, if they go, I forget what his phrasing was, like if they go one-on-one with him, I want to find him. And Garrett was like, I'm really hoping that Aaron throws it up for me if they go one-on-one with me. And that's what happened. And it was Kamari Lassiter was the one covering him, not Derek Stingley. A lot of the plays were when they threw away from Derek Stingley. But yeah, Garrett, like it just feels like he's about to just ascend in a way that we didn't expect. Like over the last five games, he's been one of the five best receivers in the NFL. I tweeted this, like his stats over the last five games project out over their full season to like 1,700 yards and like 15 touchdowns. And he's currently on pace in general for, I believe, 178 targets, which would be a Jets record. I don't know if he'll reach that because Devontae is starting to get into a groove with Aaron. So might not see him getting like the 10 to 15 target games, but like Garrett saved this game. He helped Aaron get into a groove. He's the reason the offense woke up in the second half. He was the cayenne pepper that they needed to reignite their offense. And if they can carry this in the next week, like we've seen this, as you mentioned, that's why I'm kind of trying to like rein in the excitement, because this happens every year. It happened literally almost the same way last year with the Texans. They come out, they have a great game against a team they're not supposed to. I mean, they were technically favored, though. I don't know. I mean, maybe Vegas knew something we didn't, but like a game they're probably not supposed to win, they come out and have a really good game and they don't build on it in the future. Like we need to see them build on this other than them just saying we're going to build on it. They have 10 days of rest, much needed after the schedule they've had. And they only play two games in November, I believe, which is pretty crazy considering it felt like they played 10 games in October. So, but yeah, anyway, like Garrett, just an absolute star and ascending into the player that I thought he was going to be this year.
He even had the catch. I think it was in the first half. It was just a quick out into the flat and it was way off the mark from Rodgers. Yeah. And he made a crazy, like contorted his body to make the catch. Now it wasn't a big gain. And if it had been incomplete, it wouldn't have been that big a difference, but it probably was good mentally for Rodgers to be like, well, that was a completion when early in the game, there weren't a lot of them. But it just goes to show just like that sick, that range, they call it the catching range. His range is unbelievable. All right. Second down, man, there was still a lot of mistakes in this game and just like, oh, terrible ones. Roughing the kicker early on the punt when they stopped the Texans. That one didn't burn them because the Texans drive down the field into the red zone. But Quinnen, who we'll get to in a little bit, forced the fumble, strip sack, and they get the ball back. Malachi Corley, man, like we haven't heard from him all year.
Yeah,
they do this reverse to him and it's like he's shot out of a cannon. Like
it was awesome.
Okay. Yeah. For a moment, I think we were even texting like, well, that doesn't look good for the coaching staff. Like that this guy, you finally get him into the game and he looks incredible, but then, oh, he drops the ball on purpose on the way into the end zone, which like you see happen like every what? Three seasons somebody does that. Nobody ever learns.
It's been multiple times this season, though. There was another one pretty recently.
And the one thing I was going to say is like, it's your first career touchdown, man. Hold on to the football. Like, keep it. Don't, not just because you make sure you score, but literally like hold on to the football, carry it back to the sideline, tuck it in a bag, keep that football. It's your first career NFL touchdown. And oh my God. At that point, I thought the game was over. But so credit to the Jets for picking themselves up. And then the other one, it's funny that two of these three complete nonsense penalties didn't lead to anything. The other one actually helped them, right? Which was Eric Watts on the field goal late. Gets the unnecessary roughness for going over the center. They hit the field goal. They always say, don't take points off the board, Zach.
Yeah.
The Texans take the points off the board. They get down inside the 10, I think. And then they doink.
It was all part of Eric Watts' master plan. He knew what he was doing.
So that actually helped. That penalty actually helped the Jets. But,
yeah, a lot of mistakes.
You know, if they're going to keep doing that, they're not going to win these games.
Yeah, I mean, it was as ugly of a half as they've had, which is saying something because they've had some ugly ones. And, like, there was even small moments that, like, are forgotten in time because there was these, like, obvious big ones. Like, there was a play in the first half, a screen to Tyler Conklin. He gets hit right away. On the replay, you see Mike Williams, like, didn't know who he was supposed to block. Like, he was kind of, like, running aimlessly. Like, another game where Mike Williams pretty clearly, like, just is not adapted to this offense. Played, like, 40 snaps. I think he got one catch. You have that. You have, you know, Thomas Morstead has this amazing 75-yard punt. The Cayenne Pepper's working. Pins it at the two. Like, literally, like, one of the best punts I've ever seen. 75 yards is insane. And then the Texans just work their way up the field, 98-yard scoring drive right after that. You have Sauce Gardner, you know, struggling to tackle again. He gets beat down the field. You know, it seems like he gets banged up a little too often lately, and then he comes back into the game. Like, a lot of times it happens when he has a bad play, but, you know, Sauce had some bad moments. You know, Aaron Rodgers missing Devontae was brutal. Some bad penalties. Like, Olu Fashanu in the second half actually had, and we're going to talk about Olu in a bit, but he had a bad holding penalty that negated. Like, Rodgers had this awesome, like, scramble towards the end zone, and I think he was really hyped because, you know, he had been talking about how he had been feeling a lot better lately.
And the team was hyped too. Like, they were bounced around.
But that set up the Garrett Wilson catch. So we should thank Olu for that, if anything. But and injuries, like, guys are dropping like flies for the Jets this game, especially.
Yeah, let's get into that. Yeah. All the injuries that are going to obviously have an impact on this team going forward. Luckily, they do have the mini bye.
Yeah. So, you know, at various points, you had Will McDonald leave the game. You had DJ Reed leave the game. I think he got checked for concussion. You have Sauce Gardner, who left the game. You have Devontae Adams on his fourth down catch in the second half. He left the game to be checked for a concussion. Then he had this, he basically came right from the locker room onto the field and then had his touchdown catch, which is pretty cool. And then the key ones, all four of those guys wound up back in the game. So that's good. Michael Carter II left the game with a back injury. He just can't seem to stay healthy. Like, he's having a tough time with that. Jake Hansen, right guard, got hurt. I forget what injury it was, but he was declared out almost immediately, which is never a good sign. And you had John Simpson, who had been playing pretty well this season, also left, did not return. Again, I can't, like, I'm blanking. There's so many injuries, I'm blanking on what his was. And then, so you had Max Mitchell playing left guard, a guy who's been playing tackle all summer. He did get some guard reps last year, held up pretty well. And then you had Olu playing right guard, a position he literally never played before. Not only has he never played in high school or college, he's never practiced it. Like, these were his first reps. Joe Tippmann was telling him play to play what to do and where to be. And all things considered, the O-line held up pretty well in the second half. Like, this was, like, end to end one of their better offensive line performances. Like, if you don't count the Titans and Patriots, who aren't very good, this was really, really good performance. Tyron Smith had his best game as a Jet, didn't allow a single pressure. Morgan Moses was pretty good. Joe Tippmann was good. Like, it wasn't perfect, but for putting two tackles in at guard, that was a good thing. John Simpson was a groin. Connor Long just pointed out. Hey, Connor's in here. Connor has a great podcast too. He's the better Connor, but
there's a lot of Connors.
A lot of Connors. But yeah, so I think I am concerned going forward, though. Like, it was a nice performance by that group, and for Olu in particular to jump into a position he's never played, it bodes really well for this guy's adaptability. But I don't know that I'm excited about the idea that they might have to play those guys at guard going forward. So at the very least, you hope John Simpson's back. I'm not confident about Jake Hansen. They called a guy up from the practice squad who they just signed recently, Alec Lindstrom. They clearly like him enough. Like, he's probably the next in line to play guard if they feel like he's ready. Wes Schweitzer, it seems like, is kind of out of sight, out of mind. I don't know if that means he's out for the season or what, but I don't know. 10 days is a good thing. Like, Elijah Vera Tucker is still looming. Like, they didn't put him on injured reserve, which means they think he could come back soon. Maybe they need him really badly right now with all these injuries. In terms of the injuries, just to throw it out there real quick, Alan Lazard was put on IR after Ulbrich said he wasn't going to be. So, and he said it's a weird, a funky injury. He wouldn't go into detail, and they don't really have a timeline. So he has some weird chest injury that he's out for a while. Lekki Fotu back to IR. Been a tough season for him injury-wise. But yeah, the O-line played well, but the injuries are definitely like, it doesn't really count as sloppiness, but we're lumping it in here because it's like the negative down that we're talking about. Yeah, I'm concerned about the interior O-line in terms of their health.
All right, we're going to be back with the defense after this minute, but first a quick break to talk about Game Time Watches. Before, we're psyched to be working with our first sponsor here, Game Time Watches. You can save 25% at GameTimeWatch.com using the promo code NYJPOD25. Couple of products to check out: the New York Jets Gotham City football stainless steel watch. We've shown that on the podcast. It's beautiful, comes in a tremendous decorative luxury case. There's only 500 of these made, so also a limited edition situation. Shock resistant, water resistant, Miota movement. And then also the Jets watch and wallet gift set: black vegan leather band on the watch, also the black vegan leather on the wallet itself, 6 interior card slots on that, scratch resistant mineral glass crystal. There's these Jets products. They also have other sports. Major League Baseball also works with Game Time Watches. Yes, the Yankees didn't quite pull off championship number 28, but they have Yankees watches as well. So the holidays are right around the corner. We're into November. Black Friday is coming, but you can get a great deal before Black Friday. Use NYJPOD25 to save 25% at GameTimeWatch.com. Before we get to the next down, Zach, let's see it.
All right.
If you're not watching on YouTube, Zach has opened the water.
I don't know if
he's getting the cayenne pepper in there.
I don't know if that's too much.
Swirl it. There's no such thing as too much.
Oh God.
Swirl it around a little bit. Are you going down the hatch whole thing or taking a sip? I don't
know. I'm going to decide in the moment, I think.
Okay.
All right. Cheers, everybody.
Here we go. It's a nice, like almost a apple cider color to the water.
Oh, drank most of it.
Went down about half of it.
And then it hits. Oh, right to the back of the throat. Oh boy. I generally don't do amazing with spice either, so maybe this will
luckily
clear
you
my
have
side.
A
maybe this will clear my
you have a secondary water source.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll see if
oh God,
if Zach's performance improves in the second half of the podcast.
I feel third healthy down. All of a sudden, you know.
Yeah, third down. The defense was kind of a different defense as far as the Jets go, like bend but don't break. Like the Texans outgained the Jets significantly. Like I think it was what 320 to 230, 240.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that range. But they didn't give up a lot of points, obviously holding them to 13. And a big reason for that, the pass rush was back. 8 sacks in this game. And they came from everywhere, including Michael Clemens with 2 sacks, a half a sack for Hassan Reddick. But maybe we should focus on Quinnen, who was dominant in this game.
Yeah, Quinnen, the last 2 weeks has been what everybody wanted him to be. I think everybody was being probably overly critical of him because, you know, the thing with Quinnen, the thing with Quinnen is that he doesn't always like dominate in terms of like getting sacks or QB hits, but his presence has felt week to week, and so I think he probably was getting a little too much criticism, but these last 2 weeks, he looked like he did a couple years ago when he was an all pro. Like he was absolutely dominating just about every rep. I think there's something to be said about Hassan Reddick's presence. Like he's clearly made an impact just like being on the field because the whole defensive line is playing better since he got in there. He hasn't really finished his pressures. He did have like 8 pressures, Hassan, which was really good. And Will McDonald, I thought, looked stellar also. Like he didn't actually finish and get any sacks, but I mean, the guy's just having a hell of a season. Like he's been a revelation. And I saw a stat from Next Gen where he like got most of his pressure against Laremy Tunsil, who's considered one of the better tackles in the NFL. But yeah, Quinnen, you know, probably the defensive MVP in this game. Like he was just absolutely stellar. And so yeah, you know, I just if the defensive line can play like this, like look, the running defense was still bad. Joe Mixon ran all over them, and I didn't really understand why Bobby Slowick, the Texans OC, didn't get why they didn't stick with the run because it was working. And CJ Stroud was running all over them. Like I'm concerned about the Cardinals, and we'll talk about that in the next pod. But like this, the run defense is still left a lot to be desired. But if they're getting this pass rush going the way it is, like they're going to win some games. And it's hard not to think about like if they had Hassan Reddick sooner, like does that, that probably wins them at least one more game, frankly. Like I think his presence on the field just makes a whole lot of difference, because you can't double as many guys. And especially now that Will McDonald's as good as he is. So you have those two pass rushers on the edge. You have Quinnen, and then Kinlaw can be hit or miss, but he had a pretty good game. So I feel a lot better about the D-line right now than I did a couple weeks ago, for sure.
Makes you wonder what it would be like if they had Jermaine Johnson healthy. All right. Totally. Before we move on to fourth down, Military Mike with the question. He says, "Hey, Zach, I feel like reporters let Ulbrich off the hook too easy. We keep hearing accountability, but Corley play, penalties point to discipline issues. Can we point those back to the previous regime, or how much of that is on Ulbrich at this point?"
I mean, it's a combo.
He is doing two jobs.
Yes, he is. You know, I do think the whole, I think the whole accountability thing, like they use that word a little too much, and I think to the point where it lost its meaning. Ulbrich saying it over and over again, like he was even asked about it last week or earlier this week, I guess. I always get thrown off with the short weeks, about like how you can preach accountability while, you know, keeping Greg Zuerlein around. And he alluded to something about like accountability is like, you know, you're doing your job right every day and you're doing all the right things and blah, 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 blah. So I do think that maybe they've overblown the accountability thing a little bit. But on the flip side, like with Corley specifically, like if it was another player, I think you bench him or you punish him or whatever it is. But like this kid's barely played this year. He's a rookie. On a national stage, he kind of embarrassed himself. Like I don't think you need to discipline him. I think this is a learning lesson for him. You know, Aaron Rodgers didn't really sugarcoat it. Like I think everybody else was kind of soft playing it a little bit. You had Tyler Conklin being like, shit happens, but you know, it's how you bounce back from adversity. And you have Jeff Ulbrich, you know, saying he's learned his lesson. He's never going to do this again in his career. I can guarantee you that. And like he said, he told him that you gave this one up, but now you owe us one. Rodgers called it like silly. And he alluded to like, I talked about wanting to get 28 points, and I still think that we got 28 points. If you don't
care. Rodgers was going nuts on that play too. Like yeah. It was really cool actually to see Rodgers' excitement for Corley to get that moment. And then for it all to be washed away was sad.
Yeah. But yeah, so anyway, to the point of discipline, like, yeah, I think Saleh definitely lacked discipline in the sense of like disciplining guys when they would mess up. Like it took like weeks and weeks for them to like move on from a guy when he was struggling. It's too early to say how Ulbrich's handling it, but this win was a step in the right direction. And so now we see going forward how they handle like guys that are struggling. Like for example, like I think Jeremy Ruckert has had a bad year. It's kind of like flown under the radar because you know they've had so many other issues. I thought Kenny Oboa came in. He had made a great catch in the second half. They like him as a blocker and they like him on special teams. I think Kenny Oboa should start getting some of Ruckert snaps. Like that's an example where you could say, okay, if you start, you know, rewarding guys who are playing well and punishing guys who are not, I think maybe that's a place you start.
All right, fourth down, we're going to look ahead a little bit. Trade deadline prep. Obviously, if they lose that game on Thursday night, no matter how much Woody Johnson wants to win this year, you have to sell. Like you're out of the playoffs, right? You're 2-7, it's over. Now there's still this like sliver of hope that this team could go on some magical ride and make it to the playoffs. Plus you saw already, you mentioned 50% capacity at the stadium. So it makes the trade deadline a little murkier where maybe they don't want to sell, but there's still Mike Williams. You pointed out, he still doesn't seem to understand the offense. But Alan Lazard's on IR. But Malachi Corley looked explosive. Like, is there, like, should they move Mike Williams? And if they do, who do you plug into that spot? Do we suddenly get to see a little more of Malachi?
I think the second part of that question is the issue. Like, who do you plug in? So if they don't know how long Lazard's out and what he's trying to win right now, like, what are you going to get from Mike Williams ultimately? Probably a fifth round pick. Like or a conditional fifth or something like that.
Is he doing more harm than good on the field?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair question. But at the end of the day, like he does have the talent. And so like he's an outside receiver and Malachi Corley is not that. And are you going to play Irv Charles? Like, I don't know. So unless you're confident Alan Lazard is coming back in those 4 weeks, I don't know. I lean towards keeping him unless, like you said, unless they just feel like he's just been such a detriment that they want to move on from him and he and Rodgers don't get along and all that stuff. So I don't know. It's an interesting one. I think if they had lost, he almost certainly would have been traded. I think that DJ Reed, I think he might have been traded as like a sell for assets kind of thing, because I don't think he's going to come back next year probably. Because I think he's going to explore free agency. He's going to get paid because he's having an amazing season. And I, from what I've heard, there were teams that were definitely interested in him. But I think winning that game kind of ends that conversation. And I think you could say the same about like Tyler Conklin, Hassan Reddick, like some of these guys who are on the last year of their contract. Like if they lost that game, then it's full on, you know, this is disaster mode. These guys aren't going to be here next year. You do wonder, like, is Joe Douglas the one making those moves? Because if he's getting fired, but like then you sell off, you try and get some more draft assets for next year to make the job more appealing for the next GM. But since they won, you know, I think they can pretty much stand pat. Like maybe, you know, I saw a report that there were some teams that were checking in on Brandon Echols as a corner. Like he's been a starter in the past. I don't think he's particularly good when he's a full-time starter. Again, it's what are you going to get for him? I would rather just keep him as for depth, especially with all the injuries they keep popping up in the secondary. Michael Carter now, especially. They clearly don't think Quantes Stiggers is ready to contribute because he was inactive for the first time this week. So, yeah, I kind of lean towards them standing pat. Like maybe they can even get a, make a low cost trade for somebody at a position of need. Whether that's, I mean, offensive guards are just like floating around, or like maybe an interior defensive lineman or something like that. But I think it'll wind up being a pretty quiet trade deadline. Whereas if you had asked me before the Texans game, I would have thought maybe they start selling off some guys.
All right. If we had not had this episode because of a dramatic victory, we would have leaned more into the trade deadline because of that. We could have speculated a lot about things, but it does seem like it's going to be quiet. So next episode will actually be middle of next week to get ready for the next game. Shout out again to Duke 60, who won the picks for last week. He's getting a watch and wallet set. Same deal this week. Anybody get your picks in? You missed out on Thursday. Hopefully you didn't, and hopefully you picked the Jets. But otherwise, get your picks in. You only need to pick 10 games, so it's okay that you missed the Thursday night game. And we're going to do another giveaway for the winner of this week. And then, of course, the season-long competition will have a giveaway at the end again, thanks to Game Time Watches for that. But I did track down Duke 60, so we'll get that award out into the mail. Good stuff, Zach. Great story today wrapping up the game, and I'm sure the good stuff will continue. If they do something crazy with the trade deadline, maybe we just kind of sneak that episode up a little bit and make it more of a reaction, but I don't see that happening. So we'll check in early next week. Did I miss anything, Zach?
I don't think so. I mean, look, we enjoy a victory pod more than we enjoy a losing pod. Like,
keep them coming, man.
It was getting bleak.
Let's win 7 in a row, 8 in a row.
And a lot of fun stuff to talk about out of that game too, both positive and negative. So we love that.
You know what? You barely even need, like, when they lose, like, the prep is a grind.
Yeah.
For the podcast. When they win, like, I found myself just like mentally, I had this whole show just as I'm watching the game, right? You're just like, oh, piece of cake. So like, it's just so much, but just keep winning. Come on, baby. Just win. All right. We'll talk to everybody middle of next week. Thank you all for tuning in on the stream. If you are, good numbers today, considering where this team is overall. If you're catching up on the audio, remember we did spin up a feed on Spotify, Apple. So check that out if you're having any issues with the Patreon. But if you're on Patreon, keep listening there as part of Badlands. We're psyched to be part of that team as well, and Joe and Connor and all those guys. So we'll talk to everybody again next week.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.